You know, you and I know what the media industry is like. You and I know how difficult it is to break into the business and how hard it is to work your way up to a market like Denver, right? There is such a thing as climbing the ladder, and that is part of paying your dues as you're working your way from small cities and small markets, as we have just discovered, we both spend time in Bakersfield, to places like Denver and me in Miami. However, in spending that time and paying your dues, there's a significant sacrifice that's made, right? And when you finally get to a big city and a big market, as places like Denver and Miami are known to be, you want to maintain yourself there and you want to do a good job. And most of us who've been in this business or do this, do it because it's a calling, it's a purpose, it's what we love to do, right? Despite the perceptions of glamour, this is a really difficult job. It is what we do to represent our communities. And to find yourself in those circumstances and also facing challenges where you can't have those conversations, not just with your executives, but, you know, with your other peers, right? Talk to me about how frustrating that was and how you cope with that.
I don't know if cope is anything that I figured out in the 2 years that I was there. I think, like you said, journalism for me and being a reporter and advocating for my community and all of the communities, you know, who I got close with while I was in Denver and in the metro area, they're worth sticking around for and putting my head down for and telling their stories and elevating their voices and discussing their causes. That's really, I guess, how I would say I coped, in that I said, you know, the struggle is worth it for the outcomes of what the journalism can do. The piece, however, has helped me take back the entirety of the 2 years, not just the positive, you know, outcomes of the journalism, but also all of the hard stuff in between. The piece has really validated every second of the last 2 years, and I didn't expect that to be what came from it, but for me that really has been a chance to sort of take back and own the 2 years instead of feeling victimized by it.
You know, it is also commonly understood that you don't shake the boat and you don't become the person who is difficult to work with, which is easily you could be easily labeled in a newsroom. If you're voicing concern or voicing your opinion or wanting to have conversation around difficult topics. It is also very well known that the media industry is very much like Hollywood. Everybody knows everybody and everybody is hired on recommendation and references. And, you know, it's really easy to end up on that no hire list, right? Okay. So, what made you decide that using your voice and speaking up was more important and more significant than a job?
My hope is that it's not more significant than a job, fingers crossed. And so far that's not proving to be the case, but 2 weeks ago, you know, when I was writing the piece, I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that this would be so well received, and it's been worth it to me to risk that. And just like you said, you know, to potentially close the book on my journalism career prematurely, to write something like this and to risk saying things like this, especially about a legacy station like where I was at. It was worth it because I thought so many times over the last 2 years, why didn't someone tell me, or why didn't someone warn me? And I wished so often that I had had that heads up or a deeper inside look into what was going on. I felt blindsided, I guess. And I didn't want other journalists coming behind me, especially a young Latina reporter like I was walking into those doors 2 years ago, full of just eager possibility about what could happen, than to just be let down so much in so many ways. I wanted to make sure that I was preparing the other journalists like myself who were coming behind me. And I also knew that if I was closing doors to opportunities, that those were doors that needed to be shut for me, because I couldn't do another 2 years or really any amount of time experiencing a newsroom like I had just been in. So if it meant that people shut the door on me because I was gonna, you know, whistleblow on another newsroom, then I don't wanna walk into a culture that has something to whistleblow about. I'm not saying that there's gonna be a newsroom out there that's perfect and doing it all right. But if someone is open to me being in there and bringing my diversity and bringing my perspectives and doing the work that I care about, that's community driven and advocacy driven, then we're gonna get along great. And I wanted to sort of close those doors as hard as that was to the newsrooms that didn't make sense for me, because I didn't want to get burnt out from this industry. And lastly, it was always worth it because community and truth is worth it. And it felt high time that someone said something, and there were just too many things to not say something. It just felt like I owed it to the journalists coming behind me, to the community, to myself. And that all, you know, weighed the scales in favor of doing it, even though I was petrified.
I empathize and totally understand. And when I first reached out to you, I told you that I understood the level of courage that it took to come forward. Because as many of my viewers know and followers know and listeners know, it's no secret. I've found myself in a very similar circumstance where I have had to use my voice to speak on topics that are important to speak about, that is about equity, equality, and inclusion and diversity, and the experience of being on the receiving end of those circumstances creates a lot of doubt. And to stare at a decision that could potentially be a career-ending decision is a difficult one. But just like you, you know, yours is about community and truth. Mine was about integrity, you know, integrity as a journalist. If I'm an advocate, if I speak for the community, if I work for the community, if I am representing the community, if I am a conduit to which their voices are heard publicly, right? And I am in the business of exposing justice and holding those powerful accountable, then how could I possibly, on the next shooting, on the next difficult story, convince someone else to put their face on the news and on TV and go public about the story that could impact their life and their job and their future, when I am not willing to do the same for myself with the organization in which I work when it is my turn? And I grappled with that and struggled with that. And it was an internal tug of war for a very long time. But I just simply could not call myself a journalist, because then it is like conditional journalism, right? You can tell stories and hold other people accountable, but when it's at your front door, right here in front of your face, oh, you're supposed to turn a blind eye. And if you truly are about the work, then these are the decisions that have to be made, and these are the conversations that need to be had. So I admire you, honor you, and just salute you for having the courage to come forward, because what you're talking about is the kind of conversation that needs to be had, not just in the media industry, but these are the conversations that need to be had across the board. I want to go back to the level of confidence, right, that you have in speaking about this, because you were so eloquently said, if this closes a door to somewhere that has those things, that's not a door I want to walk through anyway. That there's a level of confidence that has to exist within you, knowing who you are and what you're about, to be able to say, if that means that's a failure, then that's a failure, right? Or if that means that door closes, that door closes. Where do you think that level of confidence and that level of self-awareness comes from for you?
Oh, goodness. Great question. I have kind of no idea. I think I just know I'll work really hard, so I'm going to be okay. Our family has gone through so much. We're first generation Americans. I'm one of five. And we've just been through so much together and on our own. But I think knowing that life throws just some dirty curveballs at you sometimes, and knowing that you can get through that, this, I think I just knew that I could get through it. And I knew that if, you know, I ended my journalism career against, you know, what I really want, which is to continue, that I would be okay. And if I needed to start my own company, or, you know, be an entrepreneur of some kind, or, you know, go into a different field for a little while and figure it out. I mean, all of those things just aren't life ending. So I think just having the perspective probably, to know that if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, it's going to be okay. And I sort of, you know, cling to that with everything in life, just to give me a little perspective.
Do you think that your perspective comes from coming from a immigrant family?
Certainly. Everything we do is, it comes from that. That's, you know, our foundation.
Talk to me about that, because I think this is a disconnect that happens, that a lot of people, you know, there's, you know, our voices are undervalued in organizations, right? But we're the ones who are resilient. We're the ones, you can throw any kind of curveball at us, and we're resourceful, and we figure it out, and we survive. And that's because we come from these types of families who've had to figure things out.
Right.
So talk to me about the immigrant experience, you know, while trying to live the American dream.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, Silva, it really is the foundation of everything that I am, putting myself through school, you know, waging out on my own, the only one of the five to ever leave Texas or where the family is. I mean, we don't know anything but to succeed or survive. Growing up in, you know, my family, one of five kids, I'm the middle. My parents were putting themselves through school when we were kids. My, you know, mom came here when she was a teenager, when she was learning English. They were getting master's degrees and different, you know, decorations from different schools all throughout our lives. We were just looking through family albums the other night, and I think it was, you know, and I must've been a senior in high school when we were at a graduation for my mom of some kind, you know, just, they never stopped learning and growing and pushing and pursuing. And my dad was a pastor at one point, a teacher at another point. But when I was a baby, he was working at a hardware plant type place. I remember he was working with a buzzsaw and came home, and he had to get stitches on his knee because it cut through his pants. He said he missed several years of me and in his memory of remembering me as a baby, because he was working during the day and working during the night. I mean, our family, from my grandpa who brought my dad's family here when he was my age, they have been doing nothing but putting their noses down and working hard, trying to make a better life for their families. So yeah, I don't have a choice but to keep pursuing that, because they deserve that commitment that they gave me. And my future family deserves that commitment too. Rising requires rising. And we have to do that every single day in order to continue giving back to the generations before me who have done so much to get me to where I am.
Love that. I mean, that's such an important element of, you know, feeling responsible for the sacrifices that they have made, and knowing that you are responsible to make those sacrifices worthy, right?
Yeah.
And then the irony of finding yourself in a situation where everything that makes you who you are is in doubt, and it's making you question your worth. Oh, it's taken me years of therapy to be able to construct that sentence and not break down. And it's not just horrifying and traumatizing, but it's also just incredibly sad, because you think about so many other people coming after us, right? And so many people now struggling with a lot of this. And this is why these conversations are so important, is to say, there are ways to get past it. There are ways to get through it. There's ways to move forward, and we have to dig deeper and almost become more of ourselves, yeah, right? In order to actually work through this. Help us, Lori. Tell us, anyone who's listening and watching, who may find themselves at an impasse, who's not sure, they're doubting themselves, they're wondering what to do, what are some words of wisdom from your lived and shared experience here?
You know, truth is always worth it. It's always worth standing on your experience and believing that if speaking your truth only results in putting it out in the world and nothing more, then even that is worth it. But what I have experienced in the last 2 weeks is so much greater than just speaking it out and letting it exist in, you know, the digital world of, you know, my article online. This has been an opportunity to unite a group of people who otherwise have lived with these experiences all by themselves, believing in some ways that it could be discriminatory, or believing in some ways that these experiences could be the product of systemic racism, believing in some ways that they could be outright discrimination and racist behaviors of patterns of years long that they had to be victimized by in their newsrooms or in their workplaces. And now what this piece did was shine a light where light has not been for so long, where we have been made to feel like we owe the career some sort of silence or we'll be X'd from it. The career of journalism doesn't exist without us. And we're getting to a place in this country where there is no such thing as minorities. We are here. We are present. We are newsmakers. We hold so much incredible value. And that's not more true today than it's ever been. That has always been the case. But how you are treated and the value that your diversity brings, that to me holds more value today than it ever has. Because you're getting to a point on the organization side where you can't not be woke to the value that diversity brings. So we hold that much more value if you hire us, to keep us, to retain us, to respect us, to elevate us, to empower us, because us sticking around keeps you out of trouble, but it also educates your communities in ways that we have so much to make up for in terms of educating our communities. And that is the value of your truth, is everything that you say and everything that you've gone through now doesn't have to just be something that you were victimized by and that you have to go through in secret and in silence alone. Now it is something that shines a light where light is finally welcome and you do have a community. And if you can learn anything from my story, it's that you're not alone, deeply so. And while that's unfortunate, what that means is that you will have a community waiting to support you. And what I have also found is that I have viewers and community members who are deeply ready to take on this fight and to believe me every single word about what I have gone through. Because what do you have to gain from putting yourself in this position and taking this risk? You will have buy-in, you will have support. And if all it is that your community and speaking your truth, great. But you don't live in a time where truth is just that anymore. It's action. And I'm seeing that play out right now. And it is worth every single second of the grief that you feel or the fear that you feel about speaking out. It is worth it to watch truth do what truth does.
The truth always wins. And that is exactly what I have discovered. I felt so alone and felt so lonely in this fight for so many years. And when the information became public about my own experience, the kind of feedback, the kind of support, everything from people that I know personally mm-hmm. to people who I haven't heard from for so long, from viewers and followers and ironically executives in the industry who have been my friends for so long, and also people who have struggled and found themselves in the similar situation, and not just in this industry, but in other industries, finding my phone number, finding my email, and telling me their stories, right? Coming forward and telling me about how it's happened to them, how they've lived through it. For in every organization, in every newsroom, in every corporate office, in every conference room, it is about being validated as a human and respected and honored, just like everybody else. Thank you so much, Lori, for joining us. You and I could probably talk about this for hours, but I really... I want to thank you for making time for us. I want to thank you for being so courageous and honest and your transparency. And I look forward to working with you to continue to raise our voices, empower our voices, and to create change in the years to come. If you need to get in touch with Lori, I'll put all of her contact information somewhere along this video. My contacts are on there too. So if you need to get in touch with us for whatever reason, this is all about building community. It's about being empowered, and it's about empowering others. Thank you for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.